Ever since our early ancestors grew the ability of self-awareness and thought, our fascination with mortality had begun to emerge in several guises. There were those obsessed with the whys of death, whilst others obsessed with the what would come after the event. But something that was somewhat of a line between it all was a morbid fascination on how we could die. When you sit in traffic accumulated due to an accident ahead, you may wonder what had occurred, or attempt to maneuver yourself in your seat for a better look. Once you finally get moving, the traffic will move slowly at first. You may wonder why the road is still traveling relatively unhurried, even with the road opened back up. It is only when you arrive at the point of the accident and turn to take a look that you remember that every car has done this, even inadvertently slowing down whilst they did. You contribute to the reason for the casual pace that irritated you moments before as our morbid curiosity takes over. Slasher movies are filled with creative deaths that excite and frighten their audiences, fulfilling their fascination with death in some way, turning it into entertainment. By morphing death into a show to watch, it almost strips the fear of our mortality of its power. Perhaps this is why so many of us find the more horror-focused stories so cathartic. When it comes to our own deaths, we never really believe that it's close by, although we all know it could be around any corner deep down. It would be no way to live, constantly believing that this will be the day that you die. But then again, it has to be said that all death would require is simply for you to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. My name is Luke Mordew, and this modern myth is the scuba diver. There have been several polls over the years regarding fears and phobias, and one that almost always arises in large numbers is what is described as thalassophobia, fear of large bodies of water. Many of us feel unease when we imagine the vast depths of the darkest parts of the ocean. However, I find that many of those discomforts come with the notion of what lies beneath. For some, the notion of drowning is enough to keep them away from large bodies of water, although, for many others, it is the sheer size and mass of the creatures that lurk below. Water is their domain, giving them the advantage in almost all aspects. This is something we're not used to on land, living life at the top of the food chain in almost all situations. Jaws changed how we, as a society, saw sharks for many years, with conservationists actively trying to change the general public's perspective that the classic horror had warped. There is so much that can harm us in the depths of the open sea that could kill us with ease. Even the more harmless creatures could quickly dispose of us by simply dragging us below the surface for a few seconds too long. Our vulnerability is objectively high in a world so alien to our own. When you first hear a story involving the death of a scuba diver, you would not be wrong for assuming it to have something to do with the sea and what lurks below its surface. But what if what caused the mysterious death of this individual instead came from above? It would not take long while scanning the internet to find a viral video listing things like top 10 strangest deaths or 100 stupid ways to die. The deaths in these videos range from ridiculous to strange, and it could be said that some are entirely unbelievable. On occasions, even the most outlandish of these reported deaths have turned out to be true. Freak accidents that happen so infrequently, they have become legend. Some strange and unusual deaths have floated to the surface far more often than others. These occurrences seem to grip the imaginations and fascinations of the general public, becoming commonly known topics amongst many. Often, it can be said that these deaths are even somewhat humorous, although It seems to be the ones shrouded in mystery that hold firm the longest. The legend we are here to discuss in this chapter is a perfect specimen of one of these mysteries. It is said that a member of the cleanup crew working their way through the aftermath of a Californian forest fire was horrified to find the corpse of a charred body amongst the branches of a tree. It seemed as though they burnt alive in the flames that had recently engulfed the area's greenery. First glances suggested that they had climbed the tree to escape the embers below, but were ultimately caught in the flames. On closer inspection, this sad tale of unexpected death became one of far greater mystery and speculation. To their confusion, they found that this corpse, high up the burnt treetops, was fully equipped in scuba gear, complete with a wetsuit, with his mask on his face and his tank on his back. Why this man was up there and why he was dressed the way he was still unknown to authorities. As nobody had come forward, expressing concern for a missing individual in the forest during the fires, an autopsy was eventually performed. During this, they discovered that the man had, strangely enough, not died in the forest fire that ripped its way through the trees, but seemed to have died from severe internal injuries. Evidence suggested that the burning of the corpse, in fact, happened after the victim's demise, evoking questions on whether a murder had taken place. Only once they had used the cadaver dental records to identify him could they decipher what had actually happened. And throughout their investigation, they could not quite believe what they found. They had found his relatives and contacted the family to tell them what they had discovered amongst the remains of the forest fire. The family were understandably horrified and confused by what they were being told, as it was seemingly impossible. As it turned out, the family had reported him as missing, although it had been nowhere near the forest fires, so no correlation was ever made. The man was last seen well over 30 miles from the forest, whilst the fire had already begun. You see, he was down by the beach, scuba diving. With this information, investigators had finally begun to piece together the events of that day conclusively. It appeared that the scuba diver had been caught in the sights of a helitanker and was accidentally sucked up as it grabbed thousands of gallons of water. The pilot of the helitanker had no way of knowing that he had an unexpected stowaway as they raced off to help fight the fire that was raging 30 miles inland. It seemed, as shown by the autopsy, that he had died during this journey whilst being bashed around inside. Once he had passed, the pilot inadvertently dropped the fresh cadaver into the forest fire, with a massive amount of water being used to extinguish the flames. Here, his body would rest, burning in the branches of the trees high above the ground, miles away from the sea that he was in just moments before. I hope you're enjoying this chapter so far, and we will return to it. But first, I wanted to steal you away for a moment. I love what I do, and delving into the history of urban legends and folklore is as fascinating as it is rewarding. I feel fortunate to have thousands of people listening to my research each week. The kind messages I receive are both heartwarming and reassuring. However, it takes a very long time to create each chapter. And no matter how much I enjoy it, doing this for free is not always a possibility, leading to significant gaps between seasons, gaps that I hope to shorten in the future, and this is where your support is needed. Through Patreon, you can subscribe for as little as £3 a month, less than a latte at your local barista. By doing so, you will receive all episodes without any advertisements or breaks. You will also be able to listen to each chapter the Friday before the general public. On top of this, you'll receive a weekly newsletter and discounts on merchandise. We're not just building a community there, but forging a fellowship of folklore enthusiasts. Join our private group chats, where you can share your stories, theories, and discoveries with like-minded individuals captivated by modern myths. Let's discover what you've heard, what you may want to hear, or what you think of any specific legend. Your support on Patreon isn't just a subscription. It's an investment in preserving our urban legend show. Please help us continue our journey, and in return, become part of our team. Visit our Patreon page by clicking the link in our show notes, clicking subscribe, and paying whatever you can afford to give. I look forward to your support as we continue to unravel folklore together. And now, back to the legend. This tale has been told many times over the years. It is a smaller, shorter urban legend than many of the others. But this is perhaps why the legend has spread so far and wide. On its surface, this story is not all that unrealistic. We all know you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. We also know that forest fires and large amounts of water battle it out whenever they occur. Because of this, this legend is often assumed to be true, or, at the very least, a more straightforward yet exaggerated version of actual events. In reality, the legend, that is usually said to have taken place in California or France, has never been recorded to have ever occurred. It has been shared and spread for many years, first appearing in the zeitgeist of the 1980s. The average person does not understand how helitankers work, so most do not know that the hoses that suck up the water from the sea or the lakes during a forest fire are only measured at a couple of inches in diameter. The intake of even the larger helitankers has a diameter of only a foot, still far too small for even the most petite human being to fit through, let alone a fully grown man in scuba gear. However, although it has been deemed impossible to be sucked or scooped up into a water bomber, there has been at least one recorded injury connected to this legend by a swimmer. She had come too close to a helicarrier during a reloading process and had been caught in an eddy. This caused her to be thrown against a landing stage. But although this was painful, she did walk away with nothing but a badly bruised leg. It is not unheard of for water to be taken from the sea to help with a forest fire, but it is a task that is avoided, if possible, for several reasons. First is the seawater itself. Although firefighting boats use the technique of seawater to fight back against the flames, seawater is extremely tough on the pumping equipment, meaning proper maintenance and flushing of the systems are required to ensure the corrosive seawater properties are limited. This has become part of the job for the teams on the firefighting boats. But for those more inland, there are far better water sources. The second reason is the ocean's turbulence. The helicopters hover approximately 3 to 4 feet above the surface of the water to draw the water up through the hose. It would be hazardous for those involved if an extra large swell or a wave happened to pass by. And because of this, lakes and reservoirs are the go-to water systems of choice. And in the case of most bushfires that occur, they are also far closer and far more convenient to use. The scuba diver is not the only version of this tale, although it is the most commonly shared. The popular but less common variant remains the same in its narrative and structure, except that the person up the tree is not a scuba diver, but a fisherman, still gripping his pole with his blackened, charred fingers. Some have suggested that the legend's origins lie within a collection of "How did this person die?" puzzles. asking the reader how the scuba diver could have gotten to the tree. Over time, this hypothetical situation seems to have been shared amongst many. Eventually, either willfully or accidentally, it was misunderstood and misconstrued, being told as a story of a fascinating death rather than a puzzle to be deduced. This legend and others are spread like wildfire, feeding our morbid appetites into the curious events of death. This story remains somewhat believable, even with its outlandish narrative, because although we do not think about it too much, we are fully aware deep in our chests that the strange and surprising world of death is never too far from us.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.